Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. How to speak of a merciful God to a world in chaos is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. I'd like to encourage you to come along to one of our services, or if you don't live in the area, to go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button and find the nearest ELCE congregation to where you live. I know you'll receive a very warm welcome. I'd also like to thank you for your financial and your prayerful support of Lutheran Radio UK. Because of your commitment to us, we are able to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people around the world. And speaking of bringing the good news of Christ to people around the world, we'd like to welcome in today Dr. Dean Zweck. Dean is a lecturer emeritus at the Australian Lutheran College, which is the seminary of the Lutheran Church in Adelaide, Australia. And Dean's been at Westfield House, our theological house of studies, doing some teaching and some lecturing. And it is a delight to have you back with us. Dean, welcome to Lutheran Radio.
Thank you, Pastor John, for your welcome, and I'm very happy to be here today.
Now, today we're going to talk about the message that we have to give to a world which seems to be in such terrible chaos and despair at the moment. And maybe that's where we might start, with the chaos and the despair, as we look out across the newspaper headlines. We see, you know, economic disaster perhaps looming. We've got wars. We've got natural disasters. We've got refugee crises. We've got political upheaval. Dr. Zweck, many may ask, how can we be so sure that God is in control? How can we be sure that the merciful God Christians believe in is really in charge of things going on in the world today?
Well, the first thing is to admit very openly that we do live in very uncertain times. And I think just at this point in our history, there's a sense of general unease in the whole population. Right here in the UK, they've been through the process of Brexit, which is unsettled people. People say, well, will this make Britain great again, or will it not? And as you know, as a Lutheran pastor, we don't do politics in the pulpit or on the radio. But Jesus did tell us to beware of the times in which we live and to notice the signs of the times. Of course, across the water in America, there's been the election that also is causing quite a lot of turmoil in the hearts of people. Some people might see it as a really good thing. They might say, well, this will make America great. Others are not so sure. And so there are implications, not just for America, but for the whole world and for the peace of the whole world, as these things are being considered. And the truth is that absolutely no one knows what will happen. Well, I said no one. We often say, God knows. And actually, God does know. That's one thing that we believe, is that this world in which we live is not an accident. It's God's world. And God is almighty. God is omniscient. God knows what is going on. And God is king, as we say, or ruler of the universe. This is not something that the human eye can see. It is something that we believe. But there's a greater reason for our certainty in the midst of uncertainty. We are thinking about Christ coming. And we think of that in three ways. We think of Christ coming to us at Christmas, at the first Christmas, as a baby, born of the Virgin Mary, in a stable in Bethlehem. So when God came to visit us, he didn't knock on the door of the emperor's palace in Rome. Rather, God came among us as the least of us, as a little child, as a helpless baby. And this is the paradox of the Christian faith, is that God's ways of working are very different ways from our ways. We look at the powerful people in the world, and we look for great signs and wonders. Even when thinking about God, we might be looking for something great to happen, looking for some special sign. But God's ways of working are very different, and so the sign might not be a great sign in the sky. It might be the message of an angel. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the sign is a baby lying in a manger. So God's ways are not our ways, and yet in the midst of our uncertainty, our turmoil, we have this certainty that God is not just stuck out there somewhere in space or beyond space. Our God is a God who comes into the very midst of our world by becoming one of us and becoming even the least of us as a little child. Also, we remember that Christ will come in glory at the end of time, and every eye shall see him. So Jesus himself talks about this in some of the readings that we've been looking at in church in recent weeks. He warns his followers about the signs of the end, and he says there will be wars and rumors of wars. People will be full of fear and foreboding, wondering at what is coming upon the earth. So when we look around in our world and we see these very disturbing signs, not just in the world of politics or in the world of human history, but even in the creation itself, we are not to become fearful and despairing, because Jesus said, when you see those signs, don't cower with fear, but raise up your head, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And that's how it is for Christians. We don't put our head in the sand. Rather, we raise up our head and we wait with eager expectation for the coming of the Son of Man. Because the world does not end with a bang or a whimper or a nuclear explosion, but it ends with Christ appearing in glory. And we have for that his sure word, and this is our hope.
Dr. Zweck, you say we have this sure word of Christ, but somebody might respond, and I've heard it said to me, what good is this word of Christ when it seems that our world is coming apart at the seams? How does that really speak to us in the midst of our trouble, whether it's family trouble or social trouble or economic trouble or job lost? How does that word then really hit home with me? How can that bring comfort to me?
Well, that's a very good question, because people are looking for answers and they want neat words that will answer their particular problems. When I look at the word, the thing that brings comfort to me is the word within the word, by which I mean this is a word about the Christ who comes to me in my trouble, in my anxiety, in my need, and he offers me comfort and hope. This does not mean that the Word of God is some kind of magic wand and you can find a little formula or a little word that fixes this problem and then that problem. What it does is strengthens you in your faith so that you can deal with the things that happen in your life. For example, if you go to the doctor and you're given bad news about your health, well, that can hit you very, very hard. But if you know that in the midst of this hardship, this trouble, this sickness, this bad diagnosis, that God is with you, the God who made you, loves you, and cares for you, and has promised to be with you, even to the end of your life, even to the end of the world, well, that gives you hope, and it gives you courage, and also gives you the ability, I think, to deal with what is.
Now, I've also heard other Christians say to me that often when things go wrong, we bring this upon ourselves, that God is punishing us for our behavior, that God is even punishing the world. How would you respond to that sort of argument?
I ride a bicycle, and once I was riding along, I saw a bumper sticker on the car in front of me, and it said, "My God is not a monster. Sorry about yours." And that's a little thing, but it's something that sunk into me, because I think that's how I think about God, that when I know the love of God in Christ Jesus, I know that God is not vindictive, and that he does not, that he's not some kind of divine bully who goes after you if you do something wrong. Our sins, of course, have consequences, and we have to live with the consequences of our sins. But when we are, as it says in Romans chapter 5, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Which means that if you have your faith in Christ and in the forgiveness that we have in Christ and in the love of God that is poured out upon us in Christ, then we know that God is not against us, but we know that God is for us, even when sometimes it doesn't seem that way, even when sometimes we don't know what's going on in our lives or in the lives of those whom we love. Because love can be paradoxical, it can be cruel and vindictive, but that does not mean that God is kind of mean or horrible or trying to get us. That's not the kind of That is not how God has revealed himself to us. God has revealed himself as the God of love, and we know this love in Christ Jesus, and that comes first.
And as Lutherans, we have the doctrine of the theology of the cross, of Anfechtung, and Luther used to talk about how God uses masks to reveal himself to us, and even in his hiddenness, how he actually is there. Can you perhaps explain a little bit about these ideas within Lutheranism and how it might help us to deal with our situations in our lives today?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the one about the masks, because I was tempted to go in that direction. I thought, oh no, that's a bit of a strange one, but not really, because when you look at the story of Good Friday, you could look at that story and say, well, where is God in all this? Here is an innocent man who's been wrongly accused. He's been put on a cross, and he cries out from the cross, "Where, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And if you were a passerby, you might think, well, where's God in all this? This is just terrible. This is just all wrong. And yet God was at work in that very story. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Through the suffering of Jesus, God was taking upon himself our sin, our sorrow, and putting a finish to it. So this is the way it was for Jesus in his cross, but also in our own lives as Christian people. We go through all kinds of trouble and suffering, and especially suffering for the name of Jesus, and we sometimes call that our cross. And yet we know that in the midst of that suffering, God is at work. In all things, God works together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his promises. Reminds me of the story of a young man I visited in hospital once, quite a long time ago, and terrible tragedy had struck in his life. He met up with a Christian girl, and he went out to visit their farm and stay with the family. While he was there, he had a bad accident on one of these little four-wheel tractors. I've forgotten the name of those machines. He ended up in hospital, paralyzed from the waist down. And in the midst of all the suffering that he went through, he didn't find that God was far away, but he found that God was very close to him. And he actually came to faith during that time, came to believe that Jesus was his Savior. And he was telling me about this when I visited him, and he said, "Oh, well, I'm so happy that I found out about the truth about God and his love for me. It was one hell of a way to find out, is what he said. So he could even look at his own suffering and not feel particularly sorry for himself. He was just so glad for the faith that he had found.
It reminds me of a song lyric of a country song where the guy is out driving his car, speeding along the country road, and he said, "I didn't go looking for Jesus, but he found me when he crashed." I quite like that lyric. Now, I think part of what you're getting at is, so often in the world today, we hear a prosperity gospel or a gospel that's preached that says, if you believe in Jesus, everything is going to go right for you. There won't be any trouble in your life. How would you respond to this sort of health, wealth, and prosperity gospel?
The first thing that I find a little bit troubling about that is that it's kind of conditional. If you love God, if you do this, if you do that, then God will bless you. So it's conditional upon what you are doing, which doesn't sit very well with the gospel of God's free gift, God's grace coming to us as a free gift, not something that we earn, but something that is given as a gift. The other problem I find with that way of thinking is that it seems to put a huge priority on blessing as receiving wealth and being prosperous and everything going well in your life. My experience of life is that some of the happiest people I've ever met have almost nothing. I think about the time when I was for many years living in Papua New Guinea, and the people there were very poor. Often they had nothing. And yet they could be so happy, sitting on the back of a truck going to market, singing all the way. And when you go and visit them in their village or in their compound, they would be so welcoming and so generous, so happy to see you, and happy in their relationships with each other and with their children. And sometimes because of the, it seemed to me at least, because of the fewness of their possessions, they weren't distracted in the way that we are, because we get very uptight and very harried and perplexed and worried about our stuff, as we call it, you know, house and home, all the things that we think we need.
And it seems to me that our generation seems to be obsessed with the idea of fairness. Everything has to be fair or just. I don't know that older generations, and particularly the Bible, sees things in that way. Any thoughts about our obsession with fairness and our worldview, and how that perhaps has tainted our view of God being in control?
Life does sometimes seem to be very unfair, and unfair in the sense that it doesn't seem to make sense. Some people seem to be very lucky. Everything goes their way. They don't seem to get sick. They don't seem to have accidents. They don't seem to have troubles with their children. Everything just seems to go so nicely for them, and they prosper. And for other people, everything seems to go wrong, and it's almost like they're blighted, and this just doesn't seem fair, the way it happens. And this actually brings up a question that Christians often struggle with, sometimes called theodicy, which means justifying the ways of God to human beings. If God is almighty, if God is a God of love, if God is good and just, why does life seem so unequal sometimes, so unfair? And again, I think this is a question that brings us back to the heart of our faith, to the heart of the gospel, and the assurance that even when there are things that we do not understand, that don't seem just, don't seem right, don't seem fair, we nevertheless know that God really does love us, really does care for us, and that his loving purposes for us will be fulfilled. And in that knowledge, when we know that God truly does love us, I think one of the ways that we can respond as Christians is to show God's love in our world and do our part to make the world a better and fairer and more just kind of place for people to live in. For example, when there's injustice, is God happy with injustice? Is that part of God's plan for human beings? That some people are ripping others off? That some are being cruel and getting away with it? No. God has a strong sense of justice, and we know from both the Old Testament and from the New Testament that God wants his people to struggle for what is right and good and just and fair. And so we can be kind of, in that way, we can be signs of God's coming kingdom too.
Now, in the midst of our struggles and often puzzlement at the way God is acting in bringing about his plan, can you give us some advice or some helpful understanding as to perhaps what role worship should play in our lives, or the sacraments play in our lives, or the reading of scripture should play in our lives, even when we feel like God maybe has abandoned us and turned his back on us?
I feel that very much in my own life, and I'm sure this is true for many Christians too. Worship is the place where we go because we know that this is where heaven meets earth. This is where God comes to us. This is where we know that God is present, because he has promised to be where his word is proclaimed. So we go to church and we hear the word of God. We hear it expounded and explained to us. And when we hear this, we receive it with believing hearts, knowing that this is God's message for us today in our situation. It's a bit like young people sometimes get a bit confused about life. And if they have a good, close relationship with their parents, they'll pick up their phone if they're a long way from home, and they might say, "Mom, Dad, this is what I'm worrying about." And then they pour out their heart to you, and you become a listening ear. Well, worship's like that. This is the place where we listen to God's word to us, his word of warning and judgment sometimes, but especially his word of grace and love, his words of encouragement and hope. It's also the place where we respond to that word with our prayers, our needs, our petitions, knowing that we can go to God and lay them before him as just like a child speaking to its father or its mother. Another very important part of Christian worship is the Holy Sacraments, and in particular baptism and Holy Communion. Baptism, of course, only occurs once in a person's lifetime, and for most of us right near the beginning of our life, perhaps as infants, we're brought to baptism, and we know that it is there that God claimed us and made us his child, where our sins were washed away, where we were gathered to him through Christ, where the Holy Spirit is poured upon us. So we can always go back to our baptism, remembering our baptism by kind of reliving it. Every day we need to put off the old life of sin. We need to drown the old Adam, as the Catechism puts it. And then we need also to put on Christ and his forgiveness and the love of God that comes through Christ. The other reason why worship is so important for Christians is, of course, Holy Communion. This is the meal at which we gather around the table of the Lord, and where we receive Christ in bread and wine. He gives us his true body and his true blood. He gives us himself, and this brings us forgiveness and healing and peace with God. If you've got the peace of God in your heart, then a lot of the things that we've been talking about today, we can deal with them, we can live with them, because nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Dr. Zweck, thank you for those words of encouragement and hope, and giving us some real inspiration during these very chaotic and turbulent times in which we live. Thank you for drawing us back to Christ. Now, in the last couple of minutes that we have remaining, can you tell us a little bit about the Australian Lutheran College where you teach, what it does, and what you do there?
Australian Lutheran College is the seminary, basically, of the Lutheran Church in Australia. It used to be called Luther Seminary, but because we run other programs there, like training for teachers and church workers, it was decided some years ago to broaden the scope and call it Australian Lutheran College. It's not a big school, but it has a big job to do in the life of the Lutheran Church in Australia, preparing pastors for ministry, teachers to teach in our many Lutheran schools, and lay people to serve in various capacities in their congregations. As for myself, I've been there for 16 years. I've just retired, and it was my joy and my privilege to teach mostly in church history, but also in some other subjects like New Testament Greek and New Testament studies.
Dr. Zweck, thank you so much for your insights today, and we do pray God's richest blessings upon you, upon the Australian Lutheran College and the work that is being done there, and upon our dear brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lutheran Church Australia. Thank you so much for the work you've done at Westfield House, and we do look forward to seeing you again, and indeed, God's richest blessings to you, your family, and all the work you do.
Thank you, Pastor John, and it was a real pleasure to be with you today and talk to the people on there.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.